God is with us today, and He has made me glad. Has He made you glad today? You know, where He is joy. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. What is joy? Someone has said it's peace dancing. And I thought that was really good. Peace dancing. So we have peace and joy. Righteousness, first of all. And peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So before you can really have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, you must first be in righteousness. And that righteousness is not our righteousness. It's His righteousness. We don't trust in our righteousness. We trust in His righteousness. And by faith, we can enter into that peace and joy of the Lord based upon His promise. That those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. I believe that. It wasn't that we were good. It wasn't that we were even seeking God, but that the Lord sought us. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. So praise God. Amen. That today, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. I stand complete in Him, not in self, but in Him. My holiness is He who is holy. My righteousness is He who is righteous. My goodness is He who is good. My faithfulness is in Him who is faithful. And my truth, amen, has got to be His truth. In Him who is the truth. He didn't say, I am just a way. He says, I am the way. Amen. So in Christ, you must be in Christ to be in righteousness. And as a result of righteousness, the fruit of righteousness is peace and confidence, assurance forever. Amen. The fruit of righteousness is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Old King James. Amen. How many got peace and joy today in the Holy Spirit? Amen. If you don't, you can before you leave today. Amen. God wants us to get right with Him, and He's the one that makes us right. That way we can't compare ourselves to others and say, well, look how righteous I am compared to Joe over there. Lord, I thank You that I'm not like other men. But we have a contrite and broken in spirit and before the Lord and an understanding that God, I need Your grace. I need Your mercy. I need Your forgiveness. And I can't be right with You, amen, until I first come to realize that I can't be right in me. I can't be right in Him until I first realize I can't be right in me. It's not of my works, lest I should boast and compare myself possibly to somebody else. But it's by His grace that we are saved through our faith in Him. In Christ alone I place my trust. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I thank You, Jesus. This is the day that You've made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. We have a choice to rejoice. Well, we're light today, but we're here. We're few. We're gathered. Jesus is with us. When God is with you, you're a majority wherever you are. There are many more for us than against us. We have to remember that sometimes, don't we? Or it seems like we're surrounded with all the funk of the world. But the Lord has got His angelic hosts on assignment, His holy ones, amen, that are here to help us, the heirs of salvation, to give us the grace and the strength we need, the help that we need. And even the Lord Himself was ministered to by angels. Amen. We never worship angels, but we are receiving help from the angels, whether we realize it or not. They're helping you. Did you know that? Are you the planning of the Lord? Are you born again? Are you His child? And God has given His angels charge concerning you. So don't worry about things. Amen. Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about the economy. Don't worry about any of that stuff. trust in the Lord. Know that the Lord is bigger than the economy. He's bigger than the political situation. He's bigger than North Korea and Iran and Russia and China and all the stuff that people want to scare you with today and all this drama that the world is caught up in. You know what? We're supposed to live in a higher place than that. It's called the peace and the rest of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not saying we don't get involved in the political system. I'm saying that we're not to be caught up in the drama and the worries and the fears of this life. Amen. Because God has given us His peace. He's made available to us His supernatural peace. So what God wants to do is join His super with your natural and make you supernatural. Amen. He overshadows the natural. Amen. And we become supernatural in Him. Hallelujah. It's not of us, but of Him. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, don't we? So I want to talk about something today that I think we're all interested in. And if not, we'll pray for you. But it's called hearing the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. And I know there are many who are expecting maybe an angelic visitation or a thundering voice from heaven to speak to them. Or there are people that don't even believe that God does speak to them. How many know that God spoke to you before you were ever in Christ? He spoke to you by His Holy Spirit and drew you to Him. So even unbelievers, amen, can hear the voice of God. But that voice of God is going to do what He's going to call sinners to repentance. Because there's no salvation without repentance. If you refuse to bow your knee to Christ and submit yourself to Him, amen, and allow Him, amen, to clean you up and to forgive you and all that good thing that He came to do for you. If you refuse the love of the truth, it's not going to end well for you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Jesus came to set us free. And He came to save. But we have to first come to a realization that I'm lost before I can be saved. And today people want to offer people the solution before they even realize they have a problem. And so we must repent of our sins, turn to Jesus Christ, the only one who can save, who can forgive you, amen, and give you new life. And when you're in Christ, you receive a new heart. And the heart cries out, Abba, Father, you become a worshiper. See, anybody can come to a church service and mouth the words and sing the songs. But you can't really call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? You cannot authentically worship God except in spirit and truth. So it's not about just singing along with the songs that we do on church day. Any religious person can do that and not yet be born again. But when the Christ comes to dwell within us, we come alive in our hearts and our hearts begin to cry out, hallelujah. When the presence of the Lord begins to move in you, you automatically respond with, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, bless the Lord. Because of His Spirit within you, crying out, Abba, Father, to our Heavenly Father. Amen. The Father of our spirits and the lover of our souls. So someone once said, you teach your mind what to think by what you see. You teach your mind what to think by what you see. And you teach your heart what to believe by what you hear. So you can teach your mind by what you see, what to think. But you teach your heart to believe by what you hear. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by what? The Word of God. It didn't say faith comes by seeing. I'll believe it when I see it. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why? Because God's Word is powerful, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. When the Lord speaks, it's life-giving, it's active, amen? It's energized with power. So when God speaks, it can awaken you in your spirit. And so faith, confidence in God, comes through hearing the Word of the Lord. And that Word that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking is life-giving. When Jesus spoke to the people, He said, these words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. Words cannot be observed in a test tube because they're spiritual in nature. But the words that Jesus spoke were not his own, but he says, the words that I speak unto you are the words that the Father is speaking. Because he became just like you and I. Here, God incarnate. Amen. God himself became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Father, amen, through the Spirit, began to speak to us personally, one-on-one, often, when he walked this world. And so when they were hearing him, the people marveled and they said, no man ever spoke like this man. But he's not like the Pharisees. He's not like the scribes. He says he speaks with authority. His word was powerful. It was active. Why? Because it was God himself. The one who spoke everything into existence. Who said, let there be light. And there was light. The sound of his voice created the light, the visible. So first was the audible and then there was the visible. We must first hear the audible voice of God through the word in order to have the visible transformation in our lives. That's why the devil tries to keep people away from the Bible and from the Word of God and from reading and even speaking it and quoting it, right? And reading out loud in the hearing. I read somewhere where they said the first 100 years or so. Well, up until about 100 years ago, actually. Most of the time, the Bible was read audibly. When people read, they read out loud. And now it's like there's a lot of just silent reading. And I believe God can work through silent reading. But there's something additional that happens when we are actually hearing the word in our ears. And of course, the real ears that need to be opened up are the ears of our understanding of our hearts. Are you hearing me? But it first begins in the natural. You know, God will speak to your mind. Amen. And then you can reason with your mind and study it and examine it and wonder about it. And do yourself a favor. Start to inquire about it. Start to ask the Lord, Lord, what does this mean? The disciples are the ones that came to Jesus and said, Lord, what do these things mean? Or what did you mean by that? And he says, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Because they had hungry hearts. They had humble hearts. They were in a place where they knew they didn't have all the answers, but they wanted to learn. They wanted to grow. So they would ask the questions. Sometimes we can get proud, you know, and don't want to admit to anybody that we don't have all the answers. Anybody beside myself here not have all the answers? How many here are learning? We're growing, aren't we? I think everyone in Christ has a deep desire to know his voice and to hear his voice. Would you say amen to that? And as I'm speaking to you today, I want you to listen not to my voice, but to the voice of the Holy Spirit who speaks through me. Amen? Because God works through human vessels. Amen? To speak to us. So listen for the voice of God. And you know, a lot of times people run around, they say, well, give me a word. You got a word for me? Here, let me show you. I got a word for you. It's packed full of promises. Amen. Here's a word for you right here. Hallelujah. Does God give download and give people a revelation or something to share? Absolutely. Amen. Does God prophesy through his people today? Yes, absolutely. But what we really need to know is what is God saying to me, and do I know his voice? Can I actually distinguish his voice from all others? People that you know, you can pick out in a crowd. If there's a party going on, and there's a bunch of people talking, okay? And let's say if my wife starts to talk in the midst of all this, and I'm within hearing range, I can know. In fact, sometimes I'm in here at prayer, and I can hear who's coming in the door simply by the tone of their voice because I recognize their voice. So the Lord wants us to learn how to hear, listen to his voice, to know his voice, so that we're not following after another. Amen. Jesus said, my people, the ones that belong to me, will hear my voice. They will follow me. I know them, he said, and I give unto them what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. We need to be doers of the word. We need to be doers and not hearers only. James 1:22. You know, to continue to gain an intellectual knowledge of Scripture Without the transforming power at work in our lives is vanity. Can you say amen? There has to be a coupling with the Spirit of the Lord with the Word working together. Amen? So if we're not going to obey the Word of God, then we're deceiving ourselves. That's a form of self-deception. To simply hear messages, and people will come and they'll say, man, that was a good message. I really enjoyed that message today. The real question is, did you enjoy it enough to receive it and apply it in your life? To live it out. To say, you know what? God has spoken to me today, and God has given me an instruction, and I know His instructions are good. I know that His counsel is good. I know that His Word is effective, and it works for me. Amen? And so when I'm hearing the Word, I've got to be applying it in my heart and saying, Lord, help me to put legs to this. Help me to live this out, to walk this out. You know, I don't want to just hear about what I should do. I want to learn how to do it. How many know that the Christian life is more than just hearing? It's about practicing. It's about applying. It's about doing what you're told to do. Amen? From the one who designed you with purpose and who knows what works for you and what doesn't. So we got to be divorcing ourselves from our own opinions about everything. Some people are full of opinions about everything. I think I have been too. How about you? We all have an opinion, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean it's the truth. Well, if I thought it, it's got to be true. If it was my interpretation of Scripture, it's got to be true. How can you get theologians in a room together, several of them, and they can't agree on anything? They're full of information, full of intellectual knowledge, but somehow there's a disconnect in the spirit. You cannot know truth except by revelation. It must be revealed to you by the Spirit of the Lord. Natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him, actually. And so you got people that are even teaching in seminary that don't even know God. Would you say, how many know what I'm talking about? You got people in the pulpit that don't know God. They thought it was just a nice job. I'll go to school and I'll get a degree and I'll start doing this job. And I'll work for God. Pretty good deal. I'll work for God. How about walking with God? Walking with God, not working for God. You know, under the law, you worked for God. In grace, you walk with God. You enjoy fellowship with the Lord. And you yield yourself, you lend yourself to Him as a vessel that He can work through, He can speak through. God wants to speak to us. The question is He able to speak to us? Of course God can speak. The question is, are we willing to listen? Can God speak to you? God, I want to know your voice. Help me to know your voice. And you know what? The Lord wants to answer that prayer. And so He will speak to you. And there's several ways, and we're going to go over a few of them today, of how God speaks to us. But He speaks to us with the hope that we're going to actually obey what He's saying. Because sometimes we're asking God for more when we haven't been faithful with little. We're asking God for greater revelation when we haven't been faithful with the revelation we have. I don't know. Am I speaking to anybody here this morning? Or I'm speaking to myself too, apparently. So I do. I want to be faithful. I want to obey the voice of God. I want to be like David. He was known as a man after God's own heart. And why was that? Because David would say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll do all of you good pleasure. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was a man that had a heart after God and was wanting to do the will of God. How many here want to do the will of God? You know God put that in you. God even put that desire in you. You wouldn't even desire to do that if you weren't in Christ. If you can't raise your hand, then you need to get born again. Come on, somebody. If you're not saved, you're not going to desire to do the will of God. You may be here for self-help today. I don't know. You may be here because I just have this need. I need God to give me some money or God to help me out of a situation I'm in. And you know, but are you really willing to obey the Lord? Are you willing to go His way, to follow His direction? Or is it just what I can get from God? How many know a relationship, it needs to be two-way? I know I've heard, you've heard it said, but he's not some cosmic sugar daddy. You just come every time you need, God, give me, God, give me, God, give me. You know? God did give to you. God gave you the greatest gift of all, his son, to die for you. What can I do for you now, Lord? Because of what you did for me. How can I love you back? How can I serve you now? How can I bless you, Lord? You blessed me way beyond what I deserve. So what can I do for you now? You know, God wants laborers. He wants workers. He wants people to join him in his mission. He doesn't just want us to sit and listen. He wants us to listen and do. To be doers of the word. And not hearers only. There's satisfaction in the will of God. There's life in it. James 1:23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. It's like looking in the mirror every morning. I know it's a scary thought. It is for me. You know, I get up in the morning, especially as I get older or get younger. And the mirror says something like, wash that thing. Shave. Comb. What's left? Brush. I mean, the mirror is telling us to do something. Why do we look in the mirror? Because we want to see how things really are. Amen? So, if your mirror is got toothpaste all over it, it's time to get the rag out, amen, and some cleaner. Clean it up so, oh, wow, I didn't see that blemish before. You see, we need a clean heart to see clearly, right? We need the Spirit of God to turn the light on, amen, and so that we can see what's really going on. And when we look in the mirror, we can see, yeah, God, you're right. I need to correct that. But if I look at that and I agree that it's good, but I don't do anything about it, guess what? I'll walk away and forget what's going on in reality and live in deception, thinking that everything is okay when it's not. You see, when God is calling you, when God is moving on our hearts, when God is convicting us, that is the time to get right with God. Not whenever you think is a good time, but when the Spirit of God is still dealing with your heart, that is the time to get right. God gave the people of Noah's day 120 years as he preached righteousness and he called people to repentance, and many were not listening. Only a few were saved at that time, amen? Because they thought, well, maybe some of them thought one of these days. And they knew not until the day they entered into the ark and the flood came and took them all away. It was too late. Oh, it's not just when you think you're going to come bebopping into the throne of grace. It's when the king consults you and calls you and says, I summon you to come. The invitation is open. The banquet has been set. The day is coming when I'm going to have a celebration for my son. And whosoever to the Lord may come. Get ready, because Jesus is coming. So when God calls you, when he's convicting you, when he's dealing with your heart, that is the time that you must repent and turn to him and say, God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. God, help me. God, deliver me. God, deliver me from myself. My own selfish ambitions and my selfish motivations and my self-centeredness. And how many know that all sin comes from selfishness? Because I'm not considering, well, how my actions will hurt not only me, but somebody else. So when we look in the mirror of God's word, we can't be casual about it. You know? Sometimes you're that way. It's like, oh, whatever. Yeah, I know that, but stubbornness. And one of these days, but not right now, stubbornness. But verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. How many want to be blessed? God wants to bless you. He's not going to bless the mess. He's going to bless the amen. That's what he ordains, and that's what he approves of. So you want God's blessing in your life? Get your life right. Get straight. Amen. Get in alignment and agreement with the Word of God. Submit yourself to the authority of God. Say, Lord, what do you say? I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to work with you, Lord. I'm ready to cooperate with you, Lord. I repent. Zacchaeus didn't just say, Lord, I'm sorry. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start giving back. I've been stealing from people. I'm going to demonstrate by my actions that I really have a repentant heart. Amen? I'm going to demonstrate by my actions. I'm not going to go back out and use again because I repent. Amen. I'm not going to go out and commit sexual immorality again because I repented of that. I turned from that. I renounced that way, that life, because it displeases the Lord. Amen? And I'm ready to cooperate with you, Lord, because I'm going with you. Amen? Because you have the words of eternal life, and you are the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. There is no hope except through Jesus Christ. Not my way, but His way. Amen. And you've got to repent in order to be saved. Jesus said, unless a man repents, he won't see the kingdom. Unless he's born again. He says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, said, every mountain is going to be brought down. Every valley is going to be filled. God's saying there's one way and one way only. All the proud, amen, are going to be brought down. And the humble, amen, are going to be lifted up. And there's going to be a way, and that way is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. Not my way, but His way. And repentance is me coming to a place where I'm saying, Lord, I'm tired of living my way. I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to start doing it your way. I want to start obeying your voice and listening to your instruction because your counsel is good for me. It produces blessing and life in me. Amen? God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be extremely happy in Him. And it doesn't happen because of myself. But it happens because of His mercy and His grace that is released to a repentant sinner, a one that is submitted to God and saying, God, I repent. I turn from my wicked ways. Do you know sometimes the church needs to repent too? Because we've been stubborn and we haven't been listening and we have selective hearing. You say, oh Lord, I like that word, but oh, this one over here, I don't think I'm going to pay attention to that one. But my sheep hear my voice. He said, they follow me. I know them. And they follow me. People who look into the Word of God and habitually practice it will have practical results in their life. Isn't that true? You'll see the fruit of it. There's results. Matthew 13:23 says, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. He not only hears it, but he what? He understands it. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So there's evidence of one who has faith in God's word. Mark 4:20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. This is Mark's version of that. Those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit. What do? They accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, 60, and some 100. Luke 8:15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Bear fruit with patience. Faith requires patient endurance, sticking to it, keeping your hand on the plow, looking forward and not looking back. Come on, somebody. Not getting out of Egypt and then wanting to go back. Faith requires me understanding that God has something better for me. Jesus said those who accept the word, retain it, and persevere in it are those who bear fruit. Three things, guys. Those who accept it, retain it, and persevere in it. See, in this parable, Jesus was talking about the soil types. If the soil or the condition of the heart is not right, that seed will not bear fruit. If a person is unrepentant, they will never bear fruit. They can be religious. They can sing. They can shout. They can do all kinds of gyrations, spiritual gyrations at church. But if they're unrepentant, their life is not going to bear the fruit of Christ. Are you hearing me, somebody? I've run into some very spiritual people, you know, but then you look at their life and their life is a shambles. There's no good fruit in their life. What is the problem here? Unrepentance. They're unrepentant. They may enjoy even the things of God. They may delight in the Lord in His presence. They may be rejoicing in the time that God is with me. God is here today. Amen. And we love to sing His praises and we get happy in God's presence. Are you hearing me, somebody?
Yep.
But if we're unrepentant, if the soil condition of my heart is not such that I'm willing to yield and allow God to have access to me and to mold me and to shape me, then that seed is going to be snatched away. The enemy will come away because that's a hardened path. He's saying, man, here's an easy target right here. I'll just snatch that seed right out of his heart.
Amen.
See, somebody can get happy in church, amen, can get blessed in church, but they can walk out of here and the things that haven't been dealt with, the things that they're unrepentant about, the stony places in their lives, amen, even the cares and the riches of this life can choke that word and that person becomes unfruitful if they're not willing to cooperate with the Spirit of God and truly humble themselves and repent. There's not going to be any fruit, guys. I don't care how happy we get on Sunday, your life will bear the fruit of your relationship with Jesus that is right because you are right with Him, because you have humbled yourself.
Amen.
You said, God, your counsel is right. And sometimes, guys, hearing this message can make you mad. Because there's a part of you that rebels against the truth. And that's the part that has to die. It has to be put to death. You have to deny that part of you that would rebel against the truth. Oh, that wants to appease self. That part of you that wants to give yourself grace and say, oh, well, you're a pretty good person. You're not as bad as Joe over there. How many know the grace I give myself doesn't save me? It's the grace of God only. And how do I receive the grace of God? By repentance. By humbling myself under the mighty hand of God and say, God, I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need you to help me, God. You convict me of this thing. I'm done with it. I quit today. I choose to obey the Lord. I don't care if I have to cut a finger off or a hand or pluck an eye out, whatever it takes. I'm done with this thing. Do you understand? Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off and cast it from you. He says, be that severe about the things in your life that God is dealing with you about. Because if you don't deal with that thing can drag you down to the pits of hell. So people don't want to talk about hell today, but hell is a reality for the unrepentant. For those who will not cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord, who will not receive the love of the truth. For Jesus died a brutal death on the cross to deliver us from our sins. And if we're unwilling to repent of those sins will condemn you.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
If you're not willing to cooperate with God's Spirit, you think He should say, oh, come on in, you've been a rebel all your life. Enter into the joy of the Lord. No. You weren't repentant. And unless you repent, you should perish. Well, people don't want to hear this kind of stuff today because, well, we want to just feel good. Appease me. Make me feel good. Tell me how wonderful I am. Well, you know what? The truth is, we were born corrupt. We were born monsters. We were born separated. We were born rebellious and stubborn and selfish. How many have little children around you, right? It isn't, I mean, you're not a little child, but you know what I'm talking about, those little ones, how they are. Yeah. They don't take long, amen, and they're already rebelling. Why is that? It's that sin nature that we're born with. See, what God wants to do is He wants to change us, transform us, give us a new heart. Amen. He wants us to be born of His Spirit and to become sons and daughters and to walk in the new life that He's promised us. But it requires a cooperation with Him and a willingness to submit myself to what God has said. I've got to be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. I need to know how to hear God. I need to know His voice. And don't think that, oh, I can just whenever I want. When God summons you, when God calls you, that is the time. If you can still hear His voice. I wonder how many in the days of Noah thought, well, one of these days I'll get it right. When I feel like it. And all of a sudden it's raining. It's like, well, that's never happened before. What is that? And it was God Himself that sealed that door. And no one can get in that past that time. We are living in a time of God's faith and grace right now. God is being merciful. God is being gracious. God is giving us an opportunity to be saved. Amen? But He's calling sinners to repentance. That hasn't changed, guys. This is not some new gospel. Amen? It's the same gospel that Paul preached. The same message that Jesus taught us. In order to be saved, you must repent. You must change your way. Change your mind. You must understand that God means business. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That Jesus died a brutal death. Amen. How dare anyone, amen, disregard what Jesus did for them. Rejecting such mercy, such love. Well, you get what you want. God won't force Himself on you. If you want to go to hell, you can go to hell. That's your choice. But God's not willing that anyone should perish. He doesn't want you to go to hell. Hell was not designed for man originally, was it? It was designed for the angels that rebelled and Satan himself. But those whose names are not in the book of life are the unrepentant. And the unrepentant will also join them in that same place, the Bible says. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. There is no escape from hell. Hell is a reality, and we need to understand that God means business. His word is true, and God is calling us to repentance. Once you repent, you truly repent, and you get your heart right with God, there is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Life is good in the God zone, amen? You really know what it is to have a blessed life in the Lord, amen? But it requires you and I to be done with our life and our way and say, God, Your way is better. Your counsel is good. I receive it. The Word of God tells us to do exactly what the new nature loves to do. In other words, when we are born again and we're in Christ because we are repentant, now we have a desire to do, amen, His good pleasure. How many here desire to do God's will? Amen. Now, are you doing it because you're afraid of going to hell, or are you doing it because you love Jesus? When you are right with God and you're in fellowship and you're in relationship and you're in Christ, amen, now we do our works like out of love for God. And that is a means of justification. Because you can't be justified by your good works. No, can't do it. I don't care how good I thought I wasn't good enough. I needed to repent. I needed to be done with me and done with me trying to save myself. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And realize I can't save myself, and the only hope I have is to throw myself down at the mercy of God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I repent, Lord. And like Zacchaeus, amen, if I have to pay back fourfold whatever I've taken from people, I'm willing to do it. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I see that your repentance is genuine. It's authentic. And salvation has come to your house this day. Are you hearing me, somebody? Repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry. It's meaning, I'm sorry enough, God, that I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm turning from my way. I'm turning from my selfish, sinful ways. And I'm going to start following You. I'm going to take up my cross. And I'm going to follow the Lord. And I've never regretted doing that. How about you? It's no mystery, guys, but you and I cannot understand what the Lord is saying to us unless we can first hear Him. we must be able to hear His voice. And so hearing God is fundamental, is foundational to our walk with Him. You can't walk with God if you can't hear God. You can't walk with God if you don't know His voice. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many here know His voice? How many of you here can say, God can talk to me because God has someone that will listen? Because in me, He's got someone that will say, yes, Lord. Because sometimes we're asking God to speak to us when in our desperation. And in His mercy, He does that sometimes, doesn't He? But a lot of times, God has been speaking. The question is, have we been listening?
Exactly.
Amen. Again, we're saying, God, give me the big thing. And He says, well, what did you do with the little thing I gave you? God, give me more revelation. Well, what did you do with what I showed you already?
Right.
Are you a doer of the word, or are you deceiving yourself and thinking, I can just hear it and say, I agree with it. That's a good message. And boy, I've got all kinds of information, all kinds of sermons, all kinds of Bible knowledge, and I can wow people with what I know. But the real question is am I actually living the word? Am I a doer? And that's a question I have to ask myself as well. Am I a doer of the word? And in the areas that I'm not a doer of the word, I need to repent. And I need to cooperate with God. Amen. Because God cannot possess you in the area of your life where you're rebelling against Him. And in those areas where we rebel against the truth, we allow darkness. And in the darkness, the devil can dwell. And the devil can mess you up. So as long as I'm saying no God, I'm saying yes devil. Isn't that true? You know the devil didn't come to help you out. He doesn't love you. He tells people he does. He tells people he's a friend of the underdog. No, he's the one that caused the underdog. He's the one that's brought the destruction on people. But he tries to get you to blame God for the things he's doing. Because he's a liar. He's a thief. I don't want to listen to that dude anymore. I'm sick of him. Every time he opens his mouth, you can tell when the devil's lying. His mouth is moving, yeah. We got to quit listening to the lies. We start to embrace the truth. God, I want to know you. I want to know your voice. I want to hear your voice. I want to be faithful. I want to be found faithful to the end. I want to be steady, God. I want to stay the course. Lord, I don't want to look back. I don't want to shrink back. I don't want to look back at the world. I don't want to go back to where I was. God, I want to press on, and I want to finish my course with joy. I want to hear you say in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want. I want a heart that is right with God. Amen. I want a repentant heart. I want a repentant heart before God that's broken and says, God, I can't save me, but you can. God, I don't have grace for this, but you do. God, I can't do what you tell me to do, but you give me the ability to do it. So God, I'm calling on you. I'm trusting in you. I'm praying to you, God, and I'm asking you to help me. God, every day, give me the grace for this day. Give me this day my daily bread.
Yes.
Forgive me, God, of my debts. Blot out my transgressions. Purge my iniquities. Make me clean, God. I repent, God. God will clean you up if you're willing to repent. God will forgive you if you're willing to truly repent. Are you willing to truly repent today? God wants you and I saved. He wants you and I right. God wants everyone in this room to commit to Him, to commit to His mission, to commit to the purpose for which He called you and separated you in the first place. How many know that He didn't just save us to sit and soak and sour? Amen. But He wants to fill us with the power of His Holy Spirit. And God will cleanse you. He will clean you up. And He will fill you with His Holy Spirit if you're truly willing to repent. That means I'm done with my life, with my way. And I give you my life. I trust my life to you now. So we can do this and come into partnership, and we can walk together and enjoy fellowship with the Lord and enjoy His sweet presence every day and know I'm never alone. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. He's a faithful and true friend to me. Amen. And I know that I can call on the Lord any time, any place, and that the Lord is there for me. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
But guys, listen, if you're unrepentant, that's not true for you. What God is asking you to do right now is to surrender. Has God spoken to you today? Have you heard, not my voice, but have you heard His voice coming through today? Has He been speaking to you? Maybe you're just lukewarm. You've just kind of been somewhere in the middle, unwilling to like give up this and give up that because, oh, I just want to pick and choose my obedience. I'll listen to certain words from God, but other words, no. Or are you willing to obey the Lord fully and commit yourself fully, and that your sins may be blotted out? You see, unless you repent, fully turn to the Lord, your sins will not be blotted out, and times of refreshing will not come. Would you just settle things right now? Did God speak to you? Are you willing to obey? Are you willing to listen now? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord, on a daily basis? I will follow you. God, help us. Help us all, Father, to be faithful to you, to be true. Father, grant us the grace we need to live above this world, above the flesh and above the devil, to walk in that place with you where we have peace with you. Lord, I thank you that you've given us access to your throne of grace even now, that we can come to you. And I'm going to lead us in a corporate prayer this morning. If you just want to join with me in this, and maybe you feel like I've been backslidden, I haven't really been living the way I should, or I'm not really even saved. I don't know what it is to be born again. I don't know if I die today, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't know any of that, but I want to know. I want to get right with God. I heard God speaking to me today. I know He's been, that thing that's going on in your heart right now, that's the Spirit of the Lord dealing with you. He's given you an opportunity to be saved. And I want to lead you into prayer. This is just a beginning point. This is not an end. But this is just an opening, a beginning point for you to walk, a new way, to turn away from the old and into the new, to come out of death and into life, to come out of darkness and into light. You've been in darkness a long time and you want to come out of darkness and you want to come into light. Well, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You need to turn to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to lead everyone into prayer. And if you mean business with God, I'm just going to help you. I want you to pray this also from your own heart today. Let's say it together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, for sending your Son to die on the cross for my sins, that I could be forgiven, that I could be let out of the debtor's prison. Lord God, I ask you to grant me your salvation. Please forgive me, Jesus, of all my sins. Blot out my transgressions and purge my iniquities and fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I ask you to save me. Take out of me the heart of stone, and give me a heart of flesh. Make me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Strengthen me with might in the inner man by your Holy Spirit. Teach me your ways. Lead me in your paths for your name's sake. I pray your kingdom come and your will be done in my life. Lord, I surrender. I give my life to you. I ask you to take my life and give me yours. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God.